This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to The Kevin Kelly Show, exclusively here on placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. And now, here's your host, the voice of Ring of Honor, Mr. Kevin Kelly.
Two great guests here on a very special edition of The Kevin Kelly Show. It's here on the Place to Be Nation. And we have a new home as well for some of the week's show, I guess. We'll talk about it in a little bit. We're going to talk to a good friend of mine from Ring of Honor who was recently involved in a serious, serious motorcycle accident. And as we record tonight, Wednesday, tomorrow morning, Thursday, he's going to be undergoing surgery. So what happened to Raymond Rowe, one half of War Machine? And how quickly can Ray Rowe come back? Will he be able to come back? Or is this it for him? We really don't know, but we're going to find out here in the interview here tonight on The Kevin Kelly Show. Plus, we're also going to talk to a former NWA world champion, a man who was a pioneer in OVW, who had a great career in the WWE as well. And he's somebody that I've known forever. It's Rob Conway. He's much more physically fit than I am, but we'll talk to Rob here on the show. And JR, I know that's a shock to you that there is somebody out there more physically fit than your host.
Yeah, you're right. That does shock me.
All right. Well, what I want to start with tonight is I want to give my thoughts about the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. And as I read a headline that it's raised $8.6 million in a single day, I'm like this now. I'm all for everybody, every celebrity doing this now and dumping ice water on your heads. In fact, I owe a friend of mine one as well. But I'm more interested in donating the money. I'm more interested in donating the $100. So where do we do that? How is that done? Where is this money going to? That's the kind of thing. Focus on the money and the research that's being done because of this. And let's not forget, after we get done dumping ice over each other's heads, which is fun. And I think it's a great challenge. I think it's gotten ALS on the front page of the paper, probably more than it ever had been outside of Lou Gehrig, because that's how I would say probably 90% of the people know what the disease is. But if you could do something to help somebody, but money is the need because research is the need. Let's contribute the money. How about that? I'm all for having fun. Don't get me wrong. But let's not forget about the donation as well. So if you don't do it, you got to pay $100. But what if you do it? I think you should give something anyway. And that's the part that I think some folks are leaving out. So don't forget that part.
You're supposed to. That's the rule. No matter what, you're supposed to donate.
That's not what I'm understanding it to be from some folks. Because I was like, hey, well,
they're wrong.
How much are you donating? How much are you donating if you... if you do it, and like, well, you do it, so you just challenge other people. I'm like, no, you're supposed to donate money, dumbass. Yeah,
supposed to donate. So I think it's like 10,
right?
But I know other people have done more, it's a gimmicky thing, but if it's working, it's working. That's how I look at it, and it's working.
It's $8.6 million raised in a single day. I think that's great.
Yeah.
We can't lose sight of that most important part of it.
I think if you do your video, we need to put it on PlaySimulation.com's Kevin Kelly page.
Well, I've got a very hectic week, so I'm not going to have time like during the day to shoot it. You know what I mean? But I will this weekend when we're on the road with Ring of Honor.
Okay.
So I'll probably do something then and there because we'll shoot it during the day where it'll be light out and people will be able to see it. Not like now where it's pitch black and I'm finally just getting home. but it's going to be a lot of fun, this weekend. I know as Ring of Honor, Death Before Dishonor weekend in Milwaukee on Friday night. And then on, Saturday we go to Chicago, and starting with this episode of the Kevin Kelly Show, we're going to do something a little bit different. There is going to be a specific Ring of Honor segment. So we'll have a Ring of Honor guest, and then we'll have some Ring of Honor talk. And if you're a fan of Ring of Honor, that's great. This will be your home to be able to hear it every week. And if you're not a fan of Ring of Honor, hey, man, check it out. If you're interested, maybe you'll find, you know, you could find yourself getting interested in the product. But if you're not interested in Ring of Honor, we'll just contain it to one segment. You could skip through that and listen to the rest of the show, because we'll always do our other fun stuff. We'll always have other guests on. We'll always play games. We'll talk about all the other promotions. We'll talk about sports. We'll talk about everything else that's going on in the world, because that's what we like to do. But with Ring of Honor sort of sponsoring this now, in fact, the segment, the interview with Ray Rowe is brought to you tonight by ROHWrestling.com. That's going to be a place where you can also go and check out the ROH segment of the show. So every episode of the Kevin Kelly Show, you're going to be able to find it. And JR is going to run down where you can find the show in a few minutes. But a new home for at least the Ring of Honor segment is going to be at ROHWrestling.com. And in fact, I'm getting a text here from my from our first guest tonight, which is going to be Ray Rowe. So we're going to call him on his phone in a few minutes, and that'll be fun. But the interview is up next with Ray Rowe, with the just a life changing event just over a week ago. And what's his focus? Where is he going to go from here? Is this the end of the road? Okay, we continue here on the Kevin Kelly Show, and this segment and this interview is brought to you by ROHWrestling.com. It's the website where you can go to follow the best pro wrestling on the planet. From live event information and tickets to the latest merchandise, news, and more, ROHWrestling.com is your place to go to follow Ring of Honor Wrestling. And one of the stars of Ring of Honor came up through the Top Prospect Tournament, was the runner-up 2014 Top Prospect Tournament. From there, started a tag team that became very hot, very fast, and was rocketing towards the top. War Machine had gold in their sights. But recently, a tragic accident has sidelined one of the members of the team. And he is our guest here on the Kevin Kelly Show here on ROHWrestling.com and Place to Be Nation. And that's Raymond Rowe. Ray, welcome to the show. First question, my man, how are you feeling?
Relatively speaking, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling positive. There's been a groundswell of support that came from places that I wasn't really expecting. I'm already actually, believe it or not, Kevin, I'm already back working out. I'm doing squats every day. This whole thing kind of made me look at life as a second chance, because the EMTs told me that I shouldn't have walked away from my accident. And I'm not going to let a little moment go by unvalued.
Well, of course, it was a motorcycle, and car pulled out in front of you, and you were just the pictures from the scene, and the pictures from when you were loaded up. It didn't look pretty. I would imagine that there were some tense moments for you, for your family. And some real worry. I know you're talking about making a fast recovery, but I'm sure in those moments, everything, you know, probably went by in an instant, and you may have thought everything had come to an end. What were you feeling during that span of time?
Exactly what you just said. When it first happened, you know, obviously the first thing that went through my head was, "Oh my God, I'm alive!" And take you through the accident. A girl pulled in front of my bike with less than 15 feet to maneuver. I had no chance to stop. I slammed on my brakes. I tried to swerve. I broke my left thumb, shattered my left arm. The impact threw me up over the handlebars, and I smashed out her back window with my face. Lacerated my eye, broke my nose, but I somehow ended up on my feet. At that point, I realized two things. One, my arm was broken because I could feel the bones moving in my arm. And two, my wrestling career was probably over. And, you know, to me, whose lifelong dream was to wrestle for Ring of Honor, I felt like I had been given my dreams and was living my dreams. and then it was snatched away in an instant. So I just, it was probably, you know, one of the lowest points of my life. You know, then through the diagnosis and talking to doctors and figuring out how I can beat this, you know, it's not as catastrophic as it could have been. Very easily could have been way, way worse.
So you broke your thumb, but you shattered your left arm.
Yes, sir.
So what happens now? Is that, I understand you're going to have some surgery very soon?
Yeah, they're actually going to have surgery. They're going to put surgery on August 21st, which is just so happens to be my 30th birthday. So happy birthday to me. We're going to cut your arm open. They're going to put in two steel plates and a mess of screws and attach my left bone, my humerus, which is the bone above your elbow, is in four pieces right now. And it's been shifting and moving and causing me considerable pain since the accident. So they're actually going to go in through my tricep. They're going to fillet my tricep open, go with two plates and reattach everything back together.
And have they given you a prognosis post-op? Have they told you what to expect, how this could go? It doesn't sound good, Ray. I mean, just, I'm a layman here. I'm not a doctor. Tell me what they told you.
They told me in that this is a major surgery. It is a, you know, I'm actually going to be overnight. They have to keep me for two nights. Most surgeries, you're home the next day. I have to stay there two nights. And the doctors told me that it realistically could take me up to a year to come back from this. My target, he told me, and this is my goal, he told me that an absolute minimum of time would be 3 months for the bone to heal. And he said, Superman could come back in 6 months. So that's my goal.
Okay. Well, like you said, when you landed on your feet, you thought your wrestling career was over. And if they're telling you that, you know, it's going to be, and you're shooting for the target of 6 months, then, you know, it's a count your blessings kind of moment, I would say, probably, right?
Absolutely. You know, when looking at things like your entire career, your livelihood, your, you know, every child being over, and then someone's, you're going to be on the shelf for 6 months. It's a definite, you know, it's a kick to the gut, but it's also a motivating factor because all on my body heals and how I handle rehab and how dedicated I am to rehab. So, I mean, Kevin, you know me well enough to know that if there's a challenge put in front of me, there's nothing that's going to stop me or slow me down. If there's anything that I can control, I'll be doing everything in my power to come back as fast and as strong as possible.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And just the way that you impressed Ring of Honor officials from the first moments that we all met you, I think speak volumes of the character, the person that you are, and the man that is now going to be, you know, going through an arduous road of time and healing and recovery and patience and setbacks and accomplishments and eventual victory. I don't think there's any doubt in the world any of us believe that you won't beat this and beat it in record time. The one thing that you know, the takeaway from this certainly, and we've talked about it with you on television, has been sort of that blue-collar, hard work ethic that was really instilled in you in a young age from your father, correct?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Where did he get it from? What was he doing that he was teaching you these invaluable lessons?
From a very young age, I watched my dad break his back, break his body to provide for my family. We didn't come up with a lot of money. We didn't come up in a very nice neighborhood. My dad worked. My mom stayed home and raised the kids. I'm the middle of five, so we had a lot of family. A lot of mouths to feed. My dad worked, you know, double shifts and swing. He worked something called swing shift, which was, you know, usually you have nights or days, you know, first, second, or third shift, and that's your shift. He worked 2-week rotation on everything. So nobody ever knew when he was going to, and then he'd pull doubles because we needed the money. So he worked in the steel mills in Cleveland. Everybody knows that region of the Cleveland, Pittsburgh, that Midwest Rust Belt. Youngstown is known for steel mills. He was a rough guy. He worked extremely hard, and I saw him beat himself into the ground to provide every single day. It didn't matter if he was sick, if he was tired, if he was hurt. He got up. He went to work. He got up. He provided for his family. And that left such an indelible mark on me that I approach everything that way. It didn't matter what was facing me. You get up and you do work. So that's how I've approached every aspect of my life. That's how I'm approaching this. You know, it's a challenge in front of us, you know, and it's a situation where, you know, my dad told me when I was in amateur wrestling back in high school, he said, you know, a champion isn't made, you know, the measure of a champion is how he picks himself up after he gets knocked down. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. It was metaphorical before, you know, how you respond to a loss, how you respond to a bad game, how you respond to, you know, getting fouled out of a basketball game or whatever the situation is. Now it's literal. I mean, I'm down. You can't get much more down than I am right now. Respond, getting off the mat. Well, you're about to find out.
Yeah, that response, I know. And of course, your War Machine tag team partner, Hanson, you guys, correct me if I'm wrong, you barely knew each other before the tournament. But in the wake of that and the suggestion of being a tag team, and you guys have bonded, really just talk about the team and talk about why War Machine has worked so well, just coming out of the gates as fast as you guys have.
Man, I did not know Hanson at all until the Top Prospect Tournament. The beginning of that tournament was the first time I'd ever shaken his hand. And there's something that happens when you stand toe-to-toe with somebody and throw every ounce of your body into attacking them, and then every ounce back at you, and both of y'all stand toe-to-toe and trade everything that you are and try to take the other one down, and neither one of you finish. Neither one of you beg for mercy. You develop a respect with somebody when, you know, that competitive fire that you can see somebody's truly made of when they put them in the fire. And I think both of us saw that aspect of it to each other. We both developed that respect. And I think, you know, after fighting each other and going toe-to-toe, I mean, anybody could have won that match because we just threw it all out. You know, I took a chance. I got caught with a kick and damn near took my head off.
Yeah.
You know, just as easily he could have caught a knee to the back of the head and took his head off. I mean, it was just, we were so evenly matched. We were so, our characters were so similar. You know, the fight that we had that we just instantly bonded at the end. I mean, we shook hands in respect and truly earned each other's respect. You know, it wasn't a hey, I know who you are. You got some friends. I've got some friends. No, we didn't know. No idea. We shook hands at the beginning of the match as strangers. By the end of that match, we were friends.
It's one of my most favorite matches that I've ever called. And I've had that
I
one.
Truly
like,
take that as an honor,
dude. Yeah. Because of just the way you guys went out there and y'all blasted each other with everything. And you made just that idea of being the top prospect so important. Like as important as anything else in it of the, you know, of being the world champion. No, in this moment in time, one of us is going to be the top prospect and the other one's going to go home a loser. And we're not leaving anything, you know, in the bag, coming
well,
all out. And the handshake at the end and the music hit. I flipped. Are you kidding?
Yeah,
me?
Yeah. And I think that's why people have gravitated towards the tag team War Machine so much, because we take that mentality into the ring with us every time. We put ourselves on the line every single time we go out there. And just like you said, in this moment in time, this is the most important event of either one of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I mean? People are witnessing history every time we wrestle, because it could be for a belt. It doesn't have to be for a belt. We are going to go to the distance, whatever distance that takes, every single time that bell rings. And I think that's a big difference between us and a lot of people out there.
I know Hansen, of course, he had overcome, he had some major shoulder surgery a couple of years ago, and he was able to rehab. Has he had any words of encouragement? Since what has some of the things that he's told you?
Oh, I mean, he has been, you know, he's become, since that Top Prospect Finals, he's become one of my closest friends. You know, he's a guy that I can call at 3 a.m. and he's got my back, no questions asked. I mean, he's been, since he heard about the accident, he was one of the first guys that I texted, you know, that I called from the hospital. I wasn't even out of the ER yet, and I let him know. And, you know, he's just been basically at my side, checking in every day. Hey, brother, how are you? You know, hey, man, what's the doctor saying? Hey, man, you know, and he's just constantly positive. Don't get down. We're going to beat this. We're going to be back. We're going to be better than ever. You know, man, so many people were asking about you this weekend. Hey, man, the fans keep hitting me up. You know, I mean, he's just a constant positive, because I think, you know, he does know this road that I'm on better than a lot, because he did have those surgeries of his own. He knows how lonely the comeback can be, and he's not letting me go alone. So I really, really appreciate that.
And the idea of the fans, it's something that is cool and unique with Ring of Honor, is that, you know, the fans not only see you in live events, but they're also seeing you guys on television as well. So you're really starting to, I think, grow. I think Ring of Honor stars have the ability to grow exponentially quicker than somebody that might just be, you know, on the more traditional pro wrestling circuit, if you will. The fans have meant a lot to you guys. The fans have been really instrumental in I think, in War Machine's popularity. Some of the messages you said you've gotten, talk about some of that.
I can't even begin to say one. It has been an absolutely overwhelming flood of messages, of phone calls, of tweets, of, you know, Instagram hits. I mean, I've gotten so many responses. Literally, if I spent the next 3 weeks, all I did was respond and just said thank you. I mean, it's been incredible, the amount of responses. I mean, and it's been on all forms. It's been through my phone. It's been through my Facebook. It's been through my Twitter. It's been through my Instagram. It's crazy. And to me, that really has been, I'm a pretty private guy. You know, I don't really like talking about my problems. I don't really like talking if I'm in trouble. I don't really like people knowing that I'm struggling. So for people to have just reached out, just to let them know, you know, people are telling me about surgeries they've been through. People are telling me about, you know, problems that they're having, just, you know, kind of relating. Like, I mean, just, and it's crazy, because I read everything that comes to me, even if I don't have a chance to respond. It's just, I'm at a loss for words, Kevin. It's just crazy to me how people have just outpoured, you know, just the amount of love that was sent me has been overwhelming.
I tell you what, I knew the arm was bandaged, and I knew it was broken because you had told me in the text. When I saw the picture of your eye, that was very concerning, because it was a tremendous gash above your eye. Was there any your eye was okay? You didn't suffer any damage to your eye, to the eyeball itself, or the socket, or anything?
I've got an appointment with an optometrist to make sure that I haven't detached anything in my eye. But as far as I can tell, my vision is fine. The actual eyeball suffered no damage during the crash. And miraculously, somehow, I went headfirst off a motorcycle and smashed out a back window and didn't have a concussion. So that, I think, tells you about what we go through as pro wrestlers on a daily basis. You know, my pain tolerance and my level of conditioning, getting hit in the head and the face, are not normal compared to a normal human. But no, my eye was fine. You know what I mean? It's all swollen and beat up and broken, but it's, you know, I took 18 stitches above my eye to close that laceration, and there was a big chunk of skin missing. So, but it's no, wise. There's no damage.
Well, I know that there was, you know, it's bruised but not broken. It's slowed down but not stopped. And I think Ray, you're going to come back from this better and stronger than ever. And I think that when you and Hansen get back together and War Machine gets back out on the road, I think you're going to pick up right where you left off, because you guys were marching for the gold very quickly in Ring of Honor. And I can't wait for that day. We're just about time to wrap up on this interview, but we'll check in with you from time to time. And you know, we're going to make sure that we're following the road to recovery. And I look forward to calling your matches again very, very soon, my friend.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
Well, that's Ray Rowe, ladies and gentlemen. And positive thoughts to Ray, who will be undergoing surgery on Thursday, August 21st. It is his birthday. And you, could, of course, can follow him. We'll put up all his links for how to follow him on social media to send him get well messages and keep tabs on Ray. And that interview, of course, brought to you courtesy of ROHWrestling.com. And be sure to follow Ray and all the stars of Ring of Honor each and every week. ROHWrestling.com, you can catch the weekly television show right there on the website. And it's going to be a big weekend for Ring of Honor Wrestling. It's Death Before Dishonor weekend. Friday night in Milwaukee, Saturday, Chicago Ridge, two of my most favorite towns that we go to. I say that all the time, but it really is true, because there's nothing like the atmosphere and just the cool building Friday in Milwaukee at the Turner Hall Ballroom, historic location, and a great atmosphere for the best pro wrestling on the planet. Saturday in Chicago Ridge, Frontier Fieldhouse. I mean, that's where Ring of Honor television began, and it's just been a sight of so many great historic moments in Ring of Honor wrestling. But Friday night in Milwaukee, JR, your favorite guy in ROH, Silas Young, could be the new world champion.
I think he's going to do it, Kev. I think he's going to win the belt.
This could be it, man. This could be it. What a moment it'd be. Silas Young, your favorite wrestler. You could have posters of him all over your room. You could... Would you do that?
Yes.
Mustache?
In my locker?
We would grow a mustache. Let's grow a mustache. We could do that.
It's not November yet. We can't grow mustaches.
Ah, okay. Maybe for November. That's going to be a big-time physical match. He's earned this title shot, Silas has. So we'll see what happens. Tag team wrestling, also, it is going to be just unbelievable when the Briscoes wrestle the Young Bucks. That's on the card in Milwaukee. You also got to check out, if you haven't had a chance to do so yet, make sure you check out the Briscoes comments about the Young Bucks coming up Friday night. You'll see that, go on YouTube. You'll find it there. And, then of course, one-on-one Kyle O'Reilly versus AJ Styles. And, then the Kingdom returns to tag team action. Adam Cole, Michael Bennett, fresh off a victory, for New Japan Wrestling. They are going to take on Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. And it's just going to be a huge night. Adam Pearce returns this weekend, for Ring of Honor. It's going to be great to see Adam. He's, he's part of the decade. So,
and you can go back and listen. We've had, Adam Pearce on this show. For those new to the show, you can go back and check out one of our previous episodes here. He came on and gave a great interview with you, Kevin. That was, episode, make sure I get the right one here, episode 5. So you can go back to the archives at PlaceToBeNation.com/Kevin Kelly, Kevin Kelly, and you can find the chat with Adam Pearce there.
So Pearce will be in for this weekend. Yeah, it was a great interview. Absolutely one of the one of my all-time favorite guys. And then Saturday in Chicago Ridge, if Elgin is successful, he's scheduled to defend against Tommaso Ciampa, but if not, it's Tommaso Ciampa versus Silas Young. Either way, the Ring of Honor world title is going to be defended twice in the span of 24 hours. And Ciampa, obsessed with the idea of being the world champion, that he should have been world champion already. And we will see what happens. Jay Lethal taking on Caprice Coleman as Lethal looks to add to his run of successful world television title defenses, a big eight-man elimination, eight-man team elimination, the Briscoes and Daniels and Kazarian versus the Young Bucks and Red Dragon. So a lot of combustible elements there, all on the same side, on the same team and more. Plus, I'm looking forward to seeing Cedric Alexander one-on-one against AJ Styles and Adam Pearce versus Adam Page and Adam Cole versus Hansen in singles action and more. That, of course, is Saturday in Chicago Ridge. Tickets for both events on sale right now through ROHWrestling.com. Tickets for all live events, as a matter of fact, on sale now. ROHWrestling.com. That's your place to go. And then, of course, we're heading to the... Well, it's just going to be fantastic. September 6th, All-Star Extravaganza. Back up in Toronto at the Mattamy. JR, are you... I never asked you. Are you a hockey fan?
Yeah.
The where we go for the event on the 6th in Toronto is the old Maple Leaf Garden.
Nice.
Which has been converted and is now the Mattamy Athletic Center.
Is that on the one of the last times the Maple Leafs won the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, I think it was.
They play there?
Golly, it's been for... When was the last... When did they win the Cup? Was it like in the 50s, 60s?
I think the longest drought.
In professional sports?
Well,
yeah.
Well, in hockey, the Cubs are the longest in professional sports.
Cubs are the longest in professional sports, but yeah, as far as hockey is concerned, I think it's the Leafs. But anyway, just a neat building, tons of history, and matches have been signed for All-Star Extravaganza. You need to go and check out the card, because just, you know, the top two matches that were signed earlier this week, Michael Elgin scheduled to defend the world title against Jay Briscoe, plus first time ever one-on-one Adam Cole versus AJ Styles, and more. They're adding more and more matches all the time for All-Star Extravaganza 6. That is on September the 6th. In Toronto at the Mattamy Athletic Center, a cool building, a beautiful facility. And so let's see. There's tons of news and information going on here on ROHWrestling.com as I am clicking around. And I want to make sure that you all are there to see it. So that is that's our news and update here, ROHWrestling.com. I want to thank them for sponsoring the interview with our pal Ray Rowe. We welcome him. We hope he can come back on the show really soon and update us. He's got a long road to recovery, but I hope Raymond Rowe keeps a good thought, and I know he's going to turn it around really quickly, come back, and he and Hansen back on the road with War Machine in no time flat, and it's just going to be great to see. And now it's time for our good pal JR to tell us where you can find the Kevin Kelly Show each and every week.
You can find us in any of the following ways: visiting placetobenation.com, clicking the Kevin Kelly Show banner or the PTBN podcast banner on the right-hand side. You can subscribe to the Place to Be podcast feed on iTunes. You can also visit stitcher.com, subscribe to the Place to Be podcast, or download the Place to Be Nation podcast app by hitting up placetobe.podbean.com/mobile on your iPhone or iPad. Also, Ring of Honor's website, ROHWrestling.com. You can find this show as well. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @place2bnation and at @realkevinkelly, and like us at Facebook at facebook.com/placetobenation. You can email us at kevinkellyshow@placetobenation.com. And Kevin, 1967 was the last Maple Leafs Stanley Cup.
Well, it's been far too long. But we'll have some champions in the house on the 6th at All-Star Extravaganza. How about that for a segue? Huh? All right, we've got a whole lot more as the... boy, this is going to be great. We'll be talking to Rob Conway here in just a little bit as the Kevin Kelly Show continues right here on the Place to Be Nation. Mr. Doubles and Mr. Bob Doubles.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling. We talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right. The Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcast? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
And now, the news the whole world is talking about. It's time for Trending Stories, right here on The Kevin Kelly Show.
Okay, we're back here on The Kevin Kelly Show on the Place to Be Nation. And this past Sunday, SummerSlam, and just a dominant performance by Brock Lesnar. Oh my gosh, I can't believe the match that they had. I can't believe the way everything turned out. And boy, Brock Lesnar, I think, is just set up for just huge, huge success. But, you know, JR, not the only story, of course, coming out of SummerSlam, the tragedy that is the Bellas. I mean, what's Christmas dinner going to be like there? Dean Ambrose can kick out of steel chairs, but can't hold up too well to some hokey-looking cinder blocks. But anyway... That SummerSlam, give me your thoughts real quick on Brock Lesnar, world champion. Who's going to beat this guy?
Probably John Cena in three weeks.
Oh, it's... give me a break.
Well, they announced the rematch. You think they're going to let Cena lose again? I hope not, because after the way they put it, I mean, how can Cena come back and win 4 weeks later after how Brock just destroyed him? I got to think Cena takes a close loss this time. I hope so.
I don't see how he could... in 3 weeks' time, 4 weeks' time, figure out something.
Right.
Just because of the way everything was done.
Even if they're doing the Rocky III thing, our buddy Scott Keith keeps talking about that. Even if they're doing that, it's just too soon. Like I said, there's no way he can turn around and put together a game. I mean, he was absolutely just decimated. That was just a pure squash. And there's a lot of back and forth on our Facebook group pages. People thought it was a little bit boring and redundant since he did 16 suplexes. But that's all he needed. He only needed a German suplex. Like, I liked that psychology, that he didn't need anything more to destroy Cena.
I think they're setting up, and they've got a cool way to do this now. And again, I think the less Brock defends the title, the more special it is. You can have number one contenders matches all the way through. You could have two guys wrestle... on 1 month's pay-per-view, two guys wrestle on the next month's pay-per-view, then those two guys fight, and then the winner of that fight's Brock. That's what I want to see. That's the way they're setting this up, so let's just do it. They've got somebody special, and they have something special right now, and instead they fall back into the same promotional pattern that they've always done. I just think it's they've got something special and unique. They've got something different that they've clamored for, and now they're immediately taking that something different and putting it right back into the same formula.
And my idea, since this started a few weeks ago when we found out Brock was getting the title shot officially, is I want to see Triple H slowly realize the mistake he made by turning to this guy, right? So Brock's like, well, I'll see you later after you beat Cena again. I'm going back home with the title. You can't make me come back. And Triple H reaches out to Heyman. Heyman's on TV every week. And says, you know what? I'm going to give you guys $5 million. You clearly don't care. You don't want to be here. You proved your point. Come on, Raw. Lay down for Seth Rollins. Let me get my corporate champion. You get your money. You go home. So they agreed to do that. They come in. Heyman gets the briefcase full of money. Brock lays down. Rollins comes out. Covers him. 1-2. Brock kicks out. Laughs in his face. Destroys him. Defeats Hunter's Money in the Bank guy. So now there's no way to get the belt off Brock without convincing him to come back for whatever reason. So Hunter starts trying to force him into matches. He starts turning to his old enemies. He calls The Rock, calls Mick Foley, calls Steve Austin, Hulk Hogan, tries to get John Cena, but he's banged up. So he's going through all these guys, The Undertaker, and no one wants to help him out. Eventually he tries to do it himself. Brock destroys him. And then he turns to the one man he never wanted to turn to. at WrestleMania to defeat Brock Lesnar. CM Punk.
CM Punk?
How about that?
Work for me, except I'm sorry, CM Punk is not going to beat Brock Lesnar.
All right, Daniel Bryan. No. But see, I think the Daniel Bryan thing would work well, but the only thing that bugs me is still, I mean, look at how Brock destroyed John Cena. Is it believable in any way for Daniel Bryan to defeat him? And I love Daniel Bryan. I'm not a guy that's like, he's small, it's not believable. Like, I'm not like that at all. But.
Yeah, no. Everything can happen within reason as long as they're willing to do things differently. As long as they're willing to be different. And the way you've kind of talked about it, we're not talking about a whole bunch of matches. You know, we're not talking about we're talking about appearances, but we're not talking about a bunch of matches.
Mm-hmm.
I think the more that we see Brock, the less special he becomes in the ring. You know what I mean?
Right. And that's why Heyman's key here.
Exactly. The idea of keeping him off television is counterintuitive to all of their instincts. But I think it's the exact right thing for business, for their business. And because we're building mystique now. And we can put some, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. But boy, you can put some mystique around that title with the right kind of champion. So that's what I think.
What do you think of this guy to beat Brock? What about Cesaro? Believable. He's got the look. Strong.
Yeah. I think he's the athlete to do it. I just don't know if he has the look to do it.
I think he can get over and do it. I mean, look at him coming off of this past year's Mania, super over, and they tanked him. But I think he can get himself over quick again because he's so impressive in the ring. And he's got a good charisma. He connects with the fans, and he proved that earlier in the year. You bring Sami Zayn up, put those matches on main TV, that'll help get him over. You do that. You have Cesaro kind of become a Heyman flunky again. And we talked about this with on our mailbag with Scott Keith on the PTB podcast. You have him almost be like Brock's proxy on TV. So he steps in and helps Heyman defend, even if it's not actual title matches, but he kind of steps in as Brock's guy and fills in all these matches where Brock would be. And eventually he kind of gets sick of being used, and maybe he ends up entering the Rumble, and Heyman's like, yeah, what are you doing? You can't do this. And he enters and wins it, and then he turns on Heyman and faces Brock at Mania and wins a title. I think that could work. I think if they book him strong enough, he's good enough to get himself over.
Yeah, and I definitely agree. I look at it from the – I always go back to the fishbowl thing, and what does Vince think of? What does Vince see when he looks at Cesaro? Does he see a strong guy? Or does he see, because he's a mark for muscles. Don't forget
that. Well, he's gotten bigger. And we noted this we were watching the Boneheads, of course, the Great Boneheads, for SummerSlam. And he's noticeably more muscled up. I mean, he was always a strong dude, but you could tell he's gotten bigger.
And he's one of these guys that, some guys are like this. They gain, lose weight easy. They change their diet and their physique. Like Ciampa's one of these guys, too. And just all of a sudden now he's, you know, 20 pounds heavier. How'd you do it? I just started eating like 4,000 calories a day. Ugh. That's gross. I could do it. Just all ice cream.
We know.
All right. So the Bellas, I don't know. I liked it at the beginning. Boy, I just didn't like the way it kind of all shook out.
Well, they were in a tough spot because the story dictates that Bree should have won. But I think Steph, I still think it's a bigger end game for them. And she's so good as a heel. I mean, did you see the show? Did you watch the show?
No, not okay. A second of it.
So, she was actually really good in that whole match and segment. Like, she was a pro and completely carried Brie and Nikki through that whole thing. And Nikki looked scared as shit when she came out. You could tell that the turn was coming because she looked so nervous. But I thought Steph was great playing to the crowd. Her new shirt has the Steph, like the yes, 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 and the Daniel Bryan colors. I think that's great. I think she's been a fantastic heel. I really enjoyed her. And I think on that whole segment that she was the only real strong part of all of it. And if Brie had any level of just anything, I think this could be even a hotter story because I think all the pieces are there. It's just Brie just can't put it over that hump. If this is like, if they were doing the same thing with Punk and AJ, I think it would be a phenomenal story that everyone would really be into.
Right, because she's a much better performer than the Bellas. And
right.
Just the resting bitch face on the Bellas just is such a turnoff for me. I just don't get it.
Well,
but anyway.
They did the whole cheating with the massage therapist thing and everything else that would just... ham-fisted
that's
at the
where
end.
Yeah, that ham fist, good word. That's where I just got it, got stupid for me. Then of course what I did see, well, I didn't watch SummerSlam, I did watch Raw, and I did watch that main event with Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose. And first, give me your thoughts about Ambrose.
I love Dean Ambrose, and I love that everyone had pegged him to be the heel of the group, and he's the one that's been the best face of all of it. And
yeah,
that bodes well, because we know he could be a good heel, because we just saw it for the last year and a half before this. So that bodes really well, that he can get himself over to this level. And we had a really good argument, some of the guys from the website staff, about this the other day. I kind of likened him to like 97 DDP, kind of man of the people, coming in, sneaking around. A few of the other guys thinking that he's not getting enough shine, that he's getting his ass kicked too much, which I disagree with. I mean, he has, but I don't think it's that far out of the realm that people are going to start thinking he's a loser. I just don't think wins and losses mean as much nowadays. I think he gets one big win and everything's forgotten. So I do expect him to beat Rollins at Hell in a Cell.
I get the, and I know now that they've started to push Ziggler again because he's the Intercontinental Champion.
Mm-hmm.
But the knock on Ziggler for the longest time was that he was the big bump. He just liked to take the big bumps.
Yeah.
Right. And again, it's fishbowl. So how do they see the guy? Well, they see him take all these big bumps on TV. That's what they start to think that he likes to do, that he doesn't know how to do anything. The match, of course, that power bomb on those chairs, which were turned upside down, and that is so painful and so dangerous. First of all, I'm surprised they did it on Raw, and it was just painful and dangerous. And I think, I don't want to say stupid, but I think it was a bad decision on their part, because again, you don't want to be pigeonholed as that guy. I see the DDP comparison, but I also see the Mick Foley comparison.
He hasn't gone that crazy though. I mean, I don't want to overreact to a very small sample size of one night. I mean, I know he's done a few crazy things, but I don't think he's been all big bumps. I think he's got some great storytelling. I think he connects with the fans and has gotten himself over a different means. And now he's sort of taking crazy bumps. I mean, he was over going into Monday.
So did Mick Foley.
No, Foley started with the bumps though.
Foley got himself over. But the point is that I don't want him to put that out there for them watching the show to then this is how they see him. Because they will lose some of the multidimensional coolness of the character, right? I like what he does, and I love the match that they had. I just hated that one spot, and the cinder block thing looked kind of hokey.
Right. Well, they had to get him off TV to do the movie. And
yeah,
I think
I
it's good to give him a month off anyway, and he'll come back hot.
You could have done it. You could have done it with the chairs. That was enough.
Right. You're right.
And my wife is watching it with me, right? And she's been involved in wrestling as long as I have, because she's been married to me she's been with me as long as my wrestling career. Put it that way.
Poor thing.
I know. Tragic, right?
So I've been with you for 8 months, and I'm done.
You're counting. You're scratching it on the prison walls, like counting the days.
Like now we got those Ring of Honor thing, so we're tied in. I was hoping to be out soon.
It's going to be great. No, you thought you were out. Now you're back in. My wife looked at it and she's like, "God, he did that one big thing on the chairs, and then he's going to cinder blocks." Then Seth's boot like went through him, and she was like, "Oh, that looks so fake. The chairs were better."
And he could have even done a curb stomp on a chair. That would have been enough. Even if you don't want to do the superplexes through the chair. Like, if you want to put over the curb stomp instead of the cinder blocks, just do it through a chair. That's good enough, too, like the old concerto.
Sure. And again, for whatever reason, that's the direction that they wanted to go in. So I am concerned about Ambrose's health and welfare and safety, as I am with everybody. I hate all that stuff. I can't stand it. But anyway, I thought that they did some really good things with SummerSlam and especially with Brock. You're a WWE fan, JR.
Sure.
Are you happy with the overall direction?
Yeah. Well, I want to really hold off reserve this until after Night of Champions, because if Cena does beat him, I'm going to be pretty upset and be out. Like, I'm not going to be happy. Defend them more often than not, but I think if Cena defeats Brock in a fairly clean manner and takes the title back, and we're right back to the ho-hum. And I like Cena. I'm not a Cena hater, but we need a break, and I think Brock Lesnar is that break. He's something new, something fresh, something different. And I'm not even saying he's going to lose at WrestleMania. Why are we so obsessed nowadays with it having to be a big title change and big shift in momentum at WrestleMania? Why can't Brock Lesnar win at WrestleMania and keep the title for another year after that?
I think, again, it's he keeps it as long as he Heyman sets up the matches. Again, think of this more in terms of like boxing and
professional
wrestling.
UFC, which Brock is associated with.
I think that's how they have to book him. If they book him like a traditional pro wrestler, then it's going to come across. Then it's not going to be as good as it could be.
Well, I don't think they're going to be able to with this. He's not going to agree to it. So, I don't think he's not going to do a full time schedule. So,
yeah, it's true.
If they want to keep him as champion, they're going to be forced to do it that way.
Right. Hey, what about Daniel Bryan and what he's going through now?
Guy can't catch a break.
It's not good news. Tommy John surgery is in the elbow, right?
Yes, the UCL.
Well, I thought he had neck, and then it was shoulder, and now it's elbow.
No, I don't think it was ever shoulder. It was definitely it was definitely his neck, and then he was having that weakness in his arm, and he wasn't getting it back. So everyone thought, oh shit, his neck is really effed up, and he may be done. And then they found out it was actually his elbow that was giving him the problems, which is kind of a sigh of relief, right? Because his neck, I guess, is doing okay now, and you don't want more neck problems. You'd rather have it be in your elbow. Tommy John surgery has a decent rate of recovery. So, and it's not like Major League Baseball, he's not going to be throwing 100-mile-an-hour pitches after. So they're saying he'll be back hopefully by Mania. It sounds like another 3 months recovery after the Tommy John. So hopefully he'll be back after that. I mean, I want him to take his time. I don't care if he's at Mania or not. I'd rather have him back by SummerSlam next year if it means he can go in the ring and be safe and healthy and not rush back just to make Mania and re-injure himself.
Another Tommy John. I mean, we've had a rash of them in Major League Baseball this year, and the epidemic continues. I think they've really got to look at Little League Baseball, because that may have been where Daniel Bryan, where all this trouble started for him.
I know we talked about Tommy John before on here. Have I told you the story of the episode of the show Wedding Band? This will be really quick. So,
okay.
Short-lived show on TBS, and I watched it because Brian Austin Green was in it, and I like him. So, back to my 90210 days. So, I gave it a shot, and I actually enjoyed it. It was an hour-long comedy, which is rare. And it was about these guys that were in a wedding band, and they played all cover songs and everything else. So it was about all these different weddings and events they had to play. So Brian Austin Green's dating this girl that had blown her elbow out playing tennis and had Tommy John. And basically, because she had Tommy John and had the strong arm, she gave these awesome hand jobs that he was like obsessed with. And he didn't want anything else from her. He didn't want sex and nothing else, because it was so good, because her arm was so powerful. And they kept telling him, they're like, you know, you're pushing her too fast after the Tommy John. She's going to blow her elbow out again. And it's all these, like, baseball comparisons. And this was really funny. So, of course, then he's getting one. And all of a sudden you hear the scream, and she blows her elbow out again. Has to go back in for the second Tommy John. So he breaks up with her. But anyway, whenever I think of Tommy John, now I think of that. And it was really funny.
See, and that's Matt Harvey on the Mets.
That's right. Yeah, is that how he got Tommy? No.
That's what happened. And who's the... Who's the stupid manager for the Mets? I can't stand. They're my
Art
team
Howe?
Today.
Oh,
not Art Howe. Art Howe
Collins.
Too. Terry Collins.
You don't like Terry?
I do like Terry. He finally said this week, "All right, enough's enough, idiot. Quit saying you're throwing in the mid-90s."
I like it. I think he's a good choice for that as they rebuild. He won't be there past the rebuild, but I think he's a good kind of steering the ship through all this crap.
Kind of yeah, game. It's dreadful. And then, of course, it looks as if TNA is sticking around.
Well, stay of execution anyway. So they're on through the end of 2014, Wednesday nights. It's on right now. I mean, I got to think it's good news. I don't think they would have extended them for the end of the year if they weren't planning on at least trying to keep them, right? Why would they bother?
Right. So I think it's good.
Oh, me
too.
There
needs to be more outlets for professional wrestlers to wrestle. There needs to be some competition out there, and they need to be different. They need to be their own brand. They need to stop trying to be, as they've been through, you know, 12 years of the company, kind of a WWE light. They need to stop trying to do sports entertainment and just do professional wrestling, because that's really what people want.
And I think they've gotten better. I mean, I've been watching a little bit more, but they're really filtering out some of those WWF guys. You know, Angle's going to be gone now. No more Hogan. All those guys are gone. It looks like Bully Ray actually let it go, which I think is maybe a mistake. But they are focusing more, again, on their younger athletes, their homegrown guys, and it's been better. And it was sad when I thought they were going under, because it was starting to remind me of WCW in 2001. Remember, they actually turned the corner, and the product was pretty good for the last few months of that promotion. And it was starting to feel the same here. Like, Impact was starting to get better. The shows were getting a little bit better. They seemed to be focusing a little bit more on certain things, and have a bit better of a plan in place, and I was sad that they're going under. So I mean, I'm with you. I hope they last. As much as the TNA sucks jokes are funny, it would be sad just to be down to WWE on a major basis with Ring of Honor being number two, which you could argue they are anyway sometimes. But it's good to have that national brand out there.
Exactly.
International brand.
Yeah, true. And again, so we'll see what happens. Is it a stay of execution or is it, you know, ongoing negotiations? We'll see how this all plays out. But they've been given a second chance, mm-hmm. and I hope that they make the most of it. Well, you know what? Listen, before we go to trending stories, which mm-hmm. is my absolute most favorite thing about yes. this whole episode that we do each and every time, JR, you got some plugs for us, so please plug away.
All right, PlayStation.com has some really good stuff up right now. Kevin, do you know today was the 25th anniversary of the debut of Saved by the Bell? Your buddy Dennis Haskins, Mr. Belding. Jen Engel and I had done a We Missed the 90s installment on Saved by the Bell a couple months ago, and along with our friend Chrissy Ryan, and we re-ran that today. It's pinned to the top of the page. If you're a Saved by the Bell fan, go check that out. Also, our buddy Matt D, the column beyond, Kevin, you would like this. I'm going to link it to you right now. You head over to PlayStation.com. This is a new companion piece to our Where the Big Boys Play podcast, which is a look at all NWA and WCW pay-per-views and supercards, and they're about to do Clash of the Champions 16. So Matt D basically does a little preview piece to companion with that podcast, and for this experiment, he did two matches. He looked at the Battle Royal on the card, and in a unique way of looking at a Battle Royal, which is a match that a lot of people kind of think is always shitty, right? So he picked one guy, and he watched that one guy throughout the whole match. Watched his mannerisms, the way he interacted, where he did basically a dotted line through the match of this one guy. So it was a really cool look. I won't tell you who it was and what he did, but check it out. It was a really cool experiment. Also broke down the Sting versus Johnny B. Bad match, which also had a bad rep if you look back at like the Wrestling Observer. It was a one-star match. He went through and talked all about why, sure, maybe the action itself was one star, but they accomplished like 7 or 8 goals in that match, and they did it very well. So a really cool, unique look at something other than just, you know, stars and snowflakes and work rate. And Matt D does a really nice job with these. It's going to be an ongoing series here at PlayStation.com. We had a ton of SummerSlam coverage up. You can check that out, our live blog. Scott Keith's recap, Matt McCullough's recap. Also, Kevin, I know you're a big Seinfeld fan. That series continues. We're through the Pony Remark, the first great episode in our eyes of Seinfeld. That was the second episode in season 2. So every Tuesday and Friday, you come to PlayStation.com, and you have me, Aaron George, Andrew Flanagan, Jordan Duncan, watching an episode twice a week for you. And we have different categories that we grade it on. So also out there, too, Movies of Place to Be's generation is up to 1996. So we rank the top 5 movies of every year we had started with. I think it was like 1977. So we're into 96 now.
Very also, busy.
Also, just get your votes in now for the World Cup of TV characters. The whole first knockout round is up. We'll start round 2 of the knockout round and on Monday. So you have the rest of this week to get your votes in.
Well, you need to make sure that you check all that out. And who is the sponsor of Trending Stories now?
Ooh, we do have a sponsor, Kevin. Do you like your room to look as cool as shit?
Yes.
Okay, well, if you do, you need to visit lavalovers.com. Get yourself an awesome swank lava lamp. Brightens up your room. You know, if you want a little extra pizzazz at the announce table with Steve Carino, why don't you get one and put it right there?
A little pizzazz, huh?
Yeah. You want one that kind of looks like Jeff Hardy's painted face in your room at night when you're sleeping? You want to wake up and see that? LavaLovers.com has you taken care of. So make sure you visit that website, LavaLovers.com. Your room can look as cool as shit, just like Dan McGinn. And McGinn seems like someone who would have a lava lamp.
You know, listen, McGinn is very secretive.
He's going to have someone over there.
Yeah, he's got something cooking.
He's got the dog, right, got the lava lamp.
It is time now for Trending Stories. And what we do on every episode of the Kevin Kelly Show here on the Place to Be Nation is we highlight some of the news or you know, sports or outside the wrestling bubble. We talk about some things that are happening, and we usually have 3 or 4, sometimes even 5, and we never know what's going to come next. And so, JR, at this time, let's have the first trending story here on the Kevin Kelly Show.
The NFL reportedly asked Katy Perry, Rihanna, and Coldplay their top choices to play the 2015 Super Bowl halftime show. that they would be willing to pay the league in order to secure one of the biggest gigs in the world, according to the Wall Street Journal. When reaching out to the artist, league representatives asked some of the acts if they would exchange a headlining slot for a portion of their Super Bowl tour earnings, or maybe make another type of financial contribution to the NFL. A chilly reception from the candidates' representatives was what they received. What do you think of this, Kevin?
What is this, independent wrestling? I mean, Jesus.
Set up your gimmick table, Rihanna.
Give me a break. I mean, that is just, that's low rent. That's awful.
Well, I mean, let me say this. So, how much do they charge for a commercial spot? Like $6 million for a 30-second commercial or whatever? I mean, isn't this like a 8-minute commercial for this performer?
It is. It's a very... But again, they're part of the entertainment. They are helping to keep the viewers interested in the football game, in the event, so that the halftime doesn't lag and they don't lose, second half audience. If the game is a blowout and you've got Rihanna coming up at halftime, at least you know that they're, this past year was a dog. And who was the halftime entertainment? I can't even remember.
Was it Bruno Mars?
It was Bruno Mars. I hung around because I was like, hey, Bruno Mars is on. I'll watch that.
What if you think they'll maybe start getting sponsors? Like, yeah, CVS comes in or whatever. One of these big sponsors comes in. Coke says, hey, you know what? We'll sponsor you, Rihanna, but you got to wear a red dress with the Coke logo on the ass. But we'll pay your freight to get in there.
Sure. But don't they already do that? I mean, who is the sponsor of the halftime show? Isn't it Pepsi?
I think it is Pepsi. So Coke.
Yeah, okay.
Pepsi
to pony up a couple extra bucks.
Yeah. It's bad press, but it may be good business. So it only takes a couple to do it. I mean, maybe you get a couple guys that pool together their money, and then they go ahead and join up and do a dual show or something. But I mean,
right.
I think it's worth exploring. I mean, are you not going to watch the Super Bowl because of this?
No, of course I will. And I don't care what the NFL does in their business. I don't care how they make a $9 billion industry. I don't care valuation of the Dallas Cowboys crossed the $3 billion mark. None of that bothers me. Just don't put it in front of my face. And it's bad PR because obviously some press guy got a hold of this and turned it out and, embarrassing the league. So this deal is going to go quietly by the wayside, and then they'll work out some backdoor deal. And if they need to pay money to be part of the show, they'll do it. Absolutely. I'd be if I was Rihanna and I wanted to be part of the Super Bowl, my management team, I wouldn't know anything about it. My management team would better do everything they could to make sure I got on that show, if that's what I wanted to do.
I mean, they tried to throw out some numbers that Bruno Mars' record sales shot up. But record sales are shitty anyway, so I mean, how much shooting up are they doing? But it's interesting. I mean, this probably would have made sense more like 20 years ago when records and CDs were like actually mattered and people bought those things. But, these guys are also overexposed now as it is. I can watch Rihanna perform anywhere. I don't need to watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah, just go to YouTube. Watch it for free.
Right.
All right, so that's trending story number one. But we're just getting started. Now it's time for the second trending story here this week on The Kevin Kelly Show. Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Those kids were fast as lightning. The 32-year-old son of actor and kung fu star Jackie Chan has been arrested in Beijing on drug charges as authorities clamp down on celebrity offenders. Police say they detained J.C. Chan, who was originally from Hong Kong and also an actor, as well as Kai Ko, a 23-year-old Taiwanese actor, during a raid on Tuesday in Dongcheng District, the city's commercial and cultural center, state media, citing Beijing police. Both men tested positive for marijuana. Police later found more than 100 grams of the drug searching Chan's apartment and also accused of hosting others to take drugs. He could face up to 3 years in jail under Chinese law. They are targeting celebrities, sons of celebrities, daughters of celebrities. And Jackie Chan came out and gave a basically said how embarrassed he is of his son. His son gave a tearful apology. Of course, Jackie Chan, well known for Rush Hour, The Karate Kid, and many other movies as well. So what do you think here, Kev?
I think Jackie Chan, his son, first of all, props to you for being able to make it through that entire story read, not laughing once.
Why? Why would I laugh?
With Dong Chang? Come on, I'm giggling. Giggling listening to you.
Reminds me of the old news report from a couple years ago. Remember with the where the plane went down and she was reading the names of the...
Oh, my gosh. Sam Ting Wong. Yeah, that was...
Fook
that
you.
That was the best. Listen, I think that they're missing the boat here. The celebrities and drugs are attractions. People like this kind of stuff. And I don't think, tourism dollars are not what they once were. So they're if they're going to start cracking down on the celebs, you know, then what? They're missing out. But I do think that J.C. Chan has brought shame to the family. And
related to J.C. Chazay of NSYNC.
And J.C. Ice, yes.
That's right.
Wolfie
D. Wolfie D and J.C. Ice.
Oh, you know what?
Yeah.
We have got to get Jamie Dundee on the show.
Let's do it. I am all... We'll give him 3 hours.
It'd be like, all right, well, 20 minutes are up. We're cutting you off. Oh, no!
I guarantee you we can get a lot of good questions for Jamie Dundee. We'll do some listener questions. I know a reservoir of marks for that those territories. So
We have got to have that.
Go down to McDonald's and see if he's on working that night, and we'll get him on.
Hell, he probably sold the stuff to J.C. Chan, you know? Yes. Hey, man, it's good. That's the good stuff.
Dirty pop.
That's it. All right. So that's our second trending story. Obviously, not good times for the Chan family there in the Dongguan province of China, where they're locking up celebs for.
When's the Ring of Honor going to Dongcheng?
I hope tomorrow. I'm ready. What? Wait a minute. Now you didn't even say what kind of drugs it was.
It didn't say. I mean, it was marijuana, I guess.
Really?
You would think it would be opium.
Yeah, I don't think it's just weed. I think it's got to be more than that.
We haven't had a good Chinese opium story in a while.
We need to open up the vaults and let's go back and revisit the days when opium stories were plentiful. All right, so that was the second.
Yep.
Now, that was how they all got over in that movie, right? Is that
the poppy?
Now
fields.
Wait a minute. Let's pause for a second.
Sure.
It was poppy, right? So it was
poppy peed on my couch. Quick, now you do something with the couch. Come on, keep it going.
I can't. I'm sorry. I'm done. So that's what when she
that's
when
they all passed
out the field.
Yeah, from all the opium and the poppy seeds.
Interesting. Very good. I love that stuff. Okay.
Kids' movies are fucked up.
Let's go to trending story number 3 now. It's time. The third one. Here we go.
I want to be a billionaire so fucking bad.
Almost a year to the day after announcing he would leave his post at Microsoft, CEO Steve Ballmer is departing the technology giant's board of directors. In a letter to his successor Satya Nadella that Microsoft published Tuesday, Ballmer said his commitments in retirement, including his $2 billion acquisition of the NBA's Los Angeles Clippers, led him to the decision to surrender his board seat. He gave way to Nadella in February, ending a run as Microsoft CEO that began in January 2000 when he took over for Bill Gates. I hold more Microsoft shares than anyone other than index funds and love the mix of profits, investments, and dividends returned in our stock, and I continue to hold that position for the foreseeable future. Currently owns more than 333 million shares to Gates' 298, worth slightly over $15 billion.
He should have, Ballmer should have sung this song, by the way.
Yes.
During his media event thing that just was
awesome.
Not
good. Oh, come on.
All right. It was fine. That's I liked great. It. I loved his enthusiasm.
Right.
I think he's,
that's what we need. He's like another Cuban. We need that. We need excitement.
True. Now, let me ask you this. He paid $2 billion for a franchise that was worth less than $1 billion.
Hmm. Worth
does
it.
A guy with $15 billion in Microsoft shares alone, does he care about that kind of thing?
Nah.
Why?
He wants status. And you know what? There's never been a better time to buy the Clippers. Because you're going to be looked at as a savior, the guy that got Donald Sterling out of there. And also, they might be the team to beat now in L.A. for quite a while. The Lakers are in a bit of a mess and a rebuilding situation. It could be a Clipper town for a while here. So I think he picked the right time to overpay, get in, and this is what could be a prime franchise in a great area. So,
do you think he...
With a star player. Two star
players. They don't even own the building, though.
Who cares?
So it's not about making money. It's about status.
And they'll make their money because this is a guy that can really put the time, the effort, the money in. He's got a great coach, two star players. He's going to have a town dedicated to him because the Lakers are rebuilding. He'll make his money.
Do you rebrand it? Do you change the team's mascot? Get away from the Clippers?
Nah. I don't think they need to. It's not like Sterling created that name.
No, I know, but it's, I don't know.
No, you're going to be the guy that makes it. If the Red Sox had won the World Series in 2004 because they changed their name after 2003 with all the gunk and everything that happened, they fire Grady Little and say, you know what, we're going to change your name. Would it have meant as much?
Well, no, I mean, I just
the Cubs change their name to the Carinos next year or whatever.
Oh, that'd be funny.
And then they win
the World
Series.
I'm just saying, because again, of all of the negative publicity associated with
the Cubs,
Donald
Sterling, all the negative publicity too.
They just stink.
If they were the Los Angeles Sterlings, or Los Angeles Racist, or the Los Angeles Slumlords, whatever, if something related to Sterling, I could see it. But this name was around way before him.
Do we have any more trending stories?
Yes, sir. I believe we do.
We do. Because I got there. I wish I knew what it was. See, here's the thing, folks. I never know what these trending stories are. They're always a surprise. And the music, intros, I never can guess what they are. Like when I heard that Billionaire song, I never would have guessed that it was about Steve Ballmer. But I've got some more questions related to this whole race thing and the Redskins and stuff. But let's go to the next trending topic. Let's go to the next trending story. Now it's time for number four.
ESPN's Jim Trotter gave a big old endorsement of Johnny Manziel's chances of succeeding in the NFL, mainly because of the perception on Manziel's mental makeup to make his case. He contrasts Manziel with another cocky QB prospect and breaks out a Ryan Leaf story we hadn't quite heard before yet. I covered Ryan Leaf when he entered the league in 1998 as the number 2 overall pick. He was brash, outwardly confident, owned a powerful right arm, and fit the physical prototype that teams look for. But behind the facade, Leaf lacked the heart to fight through adversity. Failure was acceptable to him, and he was viewed as quitting as a solution, not an option. Not just an option. He admitted as much in the second season when, during a confidential conversation, he told me he was strongly considered already retiring. He had a disastrous rookie season, which he lost the respect of his teammates and fans and his starting job. Year two didn't go much better, with a shoulder surgery ending his year. In November, was suspended for 4 games, docked a week's salary for conduct detrimental to the team. It was when the Leaf told me he was leaning towards quitting. I was incredulous and filled with questions. Retirement after only 2 seasons? Where's your pride? Where's your fight? Of course, he would retire in 1999. Do you think Manziel's another Ryan Leaf, Kev? Or do you think he's got what it takes to make it?
I think Johnny Manziel is more emblematic of the athlete of today who came into college from never being told no, never being told that he's wrong, never being heavily coached, and always being, he's kind of a spoiled kid. He doesn't come from blue collar, upbringing. He's, kind of a rich kid. And I think this is the first time that he's ever seriously been coached or pushed. A lot of it is on him now, whereas before it was just on his athletic ability. Now it's on his, being on time and being mature and being smart. I don't know. I think he can. I think it gives them the perfect opportunity to let him kind of learn behind the scenes. And Brian Hoyer deserves a job. Mm. I mean, what this guy came back from.
Well, he's already been set up to fail. I mean, if you look at their schedule, they have a bye week 4, and their first 3 games are really hard. It's like Pittsburgh, New Orleans, Baltimore. So it's already lined up for Johnny Football to start week 5. I mean, you could see it coming.
I tell you what, I watched him against the Skins, and he was terrible. Well, both of them were terrible.
Neither of them played that well.
But I didn't see it. To answer your question, I don't see him as another Ryan Leaf, but I think he's going to be difficult. And again, he's going to have that come to Jesus moment at some point. And I don't know the makeup of the coach in Cleveland, because he's kind of new, but I would feel better if he had like a Herm Edwards, or a Tony Dungy or somebody like that. That would be a guiding staple.
Oh, don't worry. I'm sure we'll hear Tony Dungy's thoughts immediately on the topic. I'm sure he'll write a book about it.
So that's Manziel, and a lot of story about that.
About the Redskins? You got a couple minutes.
Mike Carey, admitted today that he had asked out of not officiating Washington Redskins games for the past 6 years because he was offended by the name. What do you think about that?
I think it's his right.
Doesn't that upset the competitive balance?
Not really.
I say it like this. If he doesn't do that game, then that means he does another game.
Sure.
Okay. He works with the same crew all the time. So if instead of doing Cowboys, Packers, St. Louis Rams, Washington Redskins, he does Dallas Cowboys, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yep.
So he winds up only doing like certain teams' games. Maybe he winds up doing another Cowboys game. instead of a Redskins game.
Well, there's 28 of the team, so they can work it out where he doesn't.
I know. I understand it, but that was like my first thought was like,
30 other
first
teams.
Of all, kind of a prima donna. Suck it up, Buttercup. You don't like it? Too bad. Quit.
Isn't he doing what we always say to do? Don't bitch. Do something about it. I feel like we always sit here and tell people, stop sitting on the internet and complaining, stop going on TV and bitching with Skip Bayless. Like, go do something. Take a stand. Isn't that what he did?
But he only half did it.
How did he half did do it?
Because he said, I just don't want to work those games.
Right.
Why don't you quit?
Oh, so
the Redskins are...
Well,
Redskins
he's done now. Isn't he an ex-referee now? Didn't he quit?
I guess he did, right? And he was the guy with the big teeth, correct?
I don't know. I liked him. I think he was pretty good.
He's better than that Jerome cat, who has that very smooth kind of voice. Mike Carey had a good speaking voice.
Yeah, he did. He had a very good one. Better than Ed Hockley with his 15-minute explanations of everything.
Ed Hockley he's on the gas. And his kid is, too, I think. Some Pittsburgh Steelers players got in trouble tonight.
What idiots. How stupid can you be? The number 1 and 1A running backs, you're going to start... Le'Veon Bell almost died last year. Remember, he got crushed at the goal line. His helmet flew off. Looked like he was paralyzed. And this idiot, and his friend LeGarrette Blount, which should be his last name, get caught in a car with marijuana. Bell gets a DUI. It's week 3 of preseason. What are you doing? Oh, stupid.
It is stupid.
I thought Josh Gordon was an idiot.
He is an idiot. All right, so that's and we're done with trending stories already.
We're done. That was 4.
All right. All right. So that's trending stories. Hey, coming up next is our interview with Rob Conway. He's the NWA World Champion. He's a friend of mine. I've known him for a long time. We'll have that in a special game as we continue here on this episode of the Kevin Kelly Show.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week, you can join Marcus Vanderberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the Big Four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
On Return the Mailman, we talk about life with great enthusiasm, which eventually leads to disillusionment and inevitably hopelessness. But don't worry, there's lots of laughs along the way. So check us out every week or month or whatever on Richard and the Mailman.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective. and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at placetobenation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith's blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
We're back here on the Kevin Kelly Show here on the Place to Be Nation. And my guest at this time is the current reigning and defending NWA World Heavyweight Champion. I've known this man since, gosh, we were both, I think, in our teens. It had to have been because we can't be as old as we really are. I met him in Louisville. He was an original trainee in OVW and went on to have a career in the WWE and now represents the National Wrestling Alliance as their world champion. It's Rob Conway. Rob, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great, man. It's so good to talk to you.
Now, Rob, of course, was part of the core group in OVW, and I've spoken about the core group before, and that was you, that was Nick Dinsmore, that was Damaja, that was Flash Flanagan, and then there was Doug Basham. So I kind of put you five guys as the pillars of what made Ohio Valley Wrestling great, which then in turn helped get, you know, everybody, I think except Flash, got contracts, and then made the guys of today that are still on top today, the John Cenas, the Randy Ortons, the Brock Lesnars of the world, made them all great. Because you guys were the young, experienced hands who helped get these guys over. Do I have the story somewhat correct?
Yeah, you know, Flash actually did get a contract, but everything else is right on. You know,
okay.
I mean, we were fortunate to be in the right place at the right time, and it led to a lot of good things for a lot of people.
Now, your background, I think, was a little different. Did you come from amateur wrestling, or how did you find your way into Danny Davis's world, into Ohio Valley Wrestling?
You know, I played a lot of sports growing up. I actually got a basketball scholarship to play in college, and I played for one season, and then it just wasn't fun anymore. So I started lifting weights and had done some amateur bodybuilding contests as a teenager, and then continued to lift weights. And then when wrestling was really getting hot in about 96, 97, people used to just come up to me on the street and ask me if I was a wrestler. And I was watching it on TV and watched it growing up. And as it happened, I was driving to work and I looked over to my left and there was a big sign that said the Danny Davis School of Professional Wrestling, live wrestling, 7 o'clock Sundays.
Oh, wow.
So I couldn't wait. You know, I saw it. And the next Sunday I stopped in, watched the show. The very first match was the guy wrestling looked like he had a diaper on. I mean, it was a lot of zany stuff, and nobody was in particularly great shape to the eye. And I thought, man, I'm going to sign up, and I'm going to be wrestling The Rock or Stone Cold in 3 or 4 months.
Well, sure, right? So, that's how this works.
I mean, that's what I thought. And then all those guys that I thought were not in very good shape, once I started training, I had a newfound respect for every one of them, that you don't have to look a certain way to actually be in great ring shape.
And so that was, and you always put labels on people. And Conway always had the label of the body. Conway was the guy that he would go out there and flex his muscles. Everybody gave you something different. Flash was the wild brawler. Damaja was the reckless guy who would take crazy flying bumps. Dinsmore was the technician. And And Doug Basham, he was the cocky, confident, arrogant guy who could wrestle you in circles. So everybody had something different to offer. But all five of you guys, it's amazing how you all came into Danny Davis's world in at about the same time and really helped shape things. I think you guys don't get enough credit because without you, the talent development system, as it is constructed today with the giant facility in Orlando and the bright new shiny weights and everything, I don't think it would have gotten off the ground. I think it would have struggled like it did in the other territories. And so without you guys, we may not have the developmental system in wrestling that we do today. Think about that.
I mean, it's a lot of hard work. A lot of people put a lot of effort in and a lot of patience from the WWE office to, you know, to keep putting money into it. You know, developmental system, obviously, you don't make any money for the company. It's just the potential of making money for them later. So we were real fortunate, guys like yourself that came down and taught us how to do interviews and how to carry ourselves and things like that. But yeah, I mean, there was a time, actually, I don't even think that guys like me, Damage, Doug, I mean, in my opinion, originally, I don't think they ever had visions of us being on television. I think that we were guys who, you know, would work hard in training and the other guys could learn from, who were blue chip athletes and could move on to be superstars. And then I think, you know, I remember at one time Jim Ross came down and watched us train and saw kind of how we were getting brutalized because we had a little bit more training than the newer guys. And they were so big and strong that it was just physically we were getting, you know, was amazed at how much abuse we were taking, and he actually brought us into an office and gave us a race.
Ha ha ha!
He brought us in and said, "You know, I really appreciate what you guys are doing, and I'm gonna increase your weekly." And I remember me and Dick Dinsmore walking outside, going around the back where his truck was, and jumping up and down, being like, "Yeah, you know, we've got a race."
That's awesome. So, So I know you had another, I'm sure, feel-good moment, and that was when you finally got called up to be part of the active roster. And it wasn't a straight line. It wasn't like, okay, here's the creative plan for Rob Conway. Go. This is how we're going to execute it. Take us on that journey for fans that may not know.
Well, I was originally, the creative staff came down to watch us one day, and they noticed that I wore black and pink trunks. And somebody got the idea that, hey, Stevie Richards wears pink. Why don't we make them a team? And they were going to put Victoria with me as my girlfriend, and they were going to call me the Golden Boy. So I was wrestling Tommy Dreamer, going to debut on Sunday Night Heat with Stevie as my, you know, with me. And then all the way up until about 6 o'clock that night, everything was on. I was going to be on the road and everything. And then John Laurinaitis came to me, and his exact words were, "Robbie, we shit-canned your match tonight, and you're not on the road." And I was like, "What?" Like, that was the worst news you could get. I mean, he said, "Hey, we're going to bring you back next week. We got something that might be better." And okay. I came back the next week, and I had shoulder-length blonde curly hair, and they set me down in a chair and shaved all my hair off and put me in an Air Force uniform. Said I came in with a ticket, sat in the front row the whole time, and then got in the ring and laid out the Dudleys as an Air Force guy and joined La Resistance.
It was, yeah. And again, it's the age old. And you guys kind of became, you know, the punchline to a joke. And the thing was, we had such great respect for you within the company, you know, and you know, me and Jim Cornette were part of the group that were always just like banging our heads together and crying at the same time. Like, why can't they just show you guys some respect and show Jim's creative some respect and just kind of pick up what you were doing in OVW? And I understand why to a certain extent, but the idea of bringing you up there, give you an idea. No, we're going to shit can that idea. No, now come back next week. Now we're going to shave your head, put you in an Air Force uniform. It's like, what? No wonder why guys struggle, right? No wonder why you all have ulcers and you know, we're all on psychiatrist couches because it's crazy.
Well, now it seems like the creative staff gives the person in NXT a character, and then they cultivate that, and then they bring that up to Raw or SmackDown. But, you know, back in the OVW time, I mean, I'd been doing one character for 6 years, and then they brought me up and gave me a different one in, you know, in one day. And it takes a while to kind of find yourself when you're used to doing something else, you know. But then again, Jim Cornette at the time was in charge of developmental, but he wasn't on the WWE creative staff. So if he's creating characters that go up to WWE on the active roster, then if your one job is to be creative and they're not using your ideas, then what do they need you for? So of course they're going to change it and make it their own, because that's just smart on their part.
Yeah, and I understand. I understand it. I understand the business behind it. I understand the reasoning. It still doesn't make any sense to me, but
it doesn't set guys up for success. It's almost like you're setting people up to, you know, you're not getting study for the test.
Right. Imagine if a major college, right? Imagine if the Louisville Cardinals, they recruited a defensive lineman. And then got him up there, and he's a 5-star athlete, and boy, we're going to treat him great. Or even if he's just a 3-star kid, and he might make the team. Okay, but listen, we brought you in as a defensive lineman. We want you to lose a bunch of weight. We're going to make you a safety. Okay, now that you're a safety, we're going to see. Can you throw the ball? We're going to make you a quarterback. No, you know what? We're going to have you as the coach. To me, that's the same idea. Well, wait a minute. The kid is a defensive lineman. Why don't we just let him be that and coach him up and have him do it right? So, but you know, as I said, Rob, you and I, of course, still very young men, and we started when we were, what, 10 or 12 years old, and now as we've, you know, crossed the 15-year mark in professional wrestling, we're just barely touching 30, right? So we have all this experience, but how did you keep it all together when you were in the WWE? Because it was not an easy time for you weren't new to the business, but a new act out on the road. How did you keep it all together?
Well, I mean, the wrestling part is what makes it all worth it. I mean, it's still fun. I mean, getting out and wrestling is fun. You know, the live events are the best. I mean, TV is a lot of stress. The pay-per-views are pretty stressful, but the camaraderie amongst the wrestlers and the live wrestling and the live events is, you know, it's a blast. I mean, it doesn't matter if there's, you know, if there's 100 people or if there's 40,000, it's still so much fun. And I think that's the bottom line, is that everybody that gets in wrestling and stays in it has to love it. I mean, it's fun. I mean, that's the thing, is people kind of make it out to be sometimes some of the negatives. But I mean, if it wasn't fun, then everybody wouldn't want to do it.
And you, well, now, memory serves me correctly, I know that you always had an interest, and you'd mentioned you did when you were a teenager. You had done bodybuilding, and you always had an interest in it, or at least in personal training. And did you keep up on your education while you were in OVW? I know it always seemed like you had a backup plan, which is the point of my question here. And how important is that backup plan?
You know, I'd sold fitness equipment prior to getting signed to WWE. So, I mean, I was always in the fitness-related field.
Right. That was it.
And once I got a developmental contract, I mean, nowadays I would tell a young wrestler, make sure that he, you know, goes to school and has, you know, something to fall back on. But sometimes you have to go for broke. And that's really, for me, to make it in at that level, I mean, I put all my interest in wrestling. I mean, if I was getting up and eating, sleeping and breathing, you know, pro wrestling because I wasn't, you know, I wasn't 6'5" or 7 foot tall and 300 pounds and didn't come from, you know, being an All-American in another sport. So, I mean, I didn't really have a backup plan during that time, because I felt like if you were spending too much time on something else and then you didn't make it, then you could look back and say, hey, I should have spent more time trying to do what they're paying me for. So although I always had an interest in fitness and still do, I sometimes think that, you know, you don't want to leave any stones unturned when it comes to, if they're paying you to develop, to use all that time to do it. And that's pretty much what I did. I mean, when you guys would come down, I say, you know, you came down to OVW when we were in the Jeffersonville a lot.
Right.
And I still teach people what you taught me, like how to stand closer to the camera with your shoulders wide and the interviewer with his legs spread, stand from the side, and never, you know, like I said, creative has one job, to be creative. You told me you have one job, and that's to hold that microphone. So you're never going to let anybody rip it out of your hand unless you're instructed to. And I, you know, if I move my chin, you'll move the microphone for me where it needs to go. That you have one job, and you're not giving that up. And just all the things that were, you know, I mean, just like I said, I was concentrated on stuff like that. I mean, you taught me that 15 years ago, and I can almost recite it like it was yesterday, because, I mean, like I said, anything that I was taught, I tried to listen and retain it when it comes to pro wrestling. And the things that you taught back then hold true today.
It's so much fun when and thank you very much for that, and for remembering that lesson. And I still teach that same lesson today, Rob. It, you know, the lesson, the story hasn't changed. It's just new kids I'm teaching it to. And so, okay, now you get away from the WWE, and the time as it does for all of us, it comes to an end, and the door is never completely closed, but it's closed for now. So do you think about walking away? You've invested all this time, effort, and energy into wrestling, or did you just think, okay, where can I go next and find my way in this life? What was going through your mind when that dreaded release day came?
Really, I mean, I still wanted to wrestle, that's for sure. But I had saved, you know, one of the things that was drilled in my head early on from Danny Davis and Rip Rogers is, it's not how much you make, it's how much you save.
That's right.
So I had saved as much money as I possibly could. So by the time that I left the WWE, my house was paid for, my cars were paid for, and I had money in the bank. So I was able to, and I had almost 4 years of national television exposure under my belt. So it made it an easier transition to go to independent wrestling. I mean, that's the one thing that WWE did for sure, is it set me up with, you know, finances and gave me a platform to make a name for myself to then go on and perform independently. The WWE really helped out as far as getting your name out there and people respecting where you've been.
And at least, you know, they didn't have much figured out back then, but at least the one thing they let guys do is kind of keep their name, because God knows now you'd be Fred Baker or, Ginger Warcraft, or who knows what they'd be calling you. Probably wouldn't be Rob Conway.
Yeah, I always tell young guys, if you can, try to use your own name, because they can't take it away from you. I mean, I used to tell them, if you put Monty Soup up on the marquee, you know, a lot of people wouldn't know that that's Billy Gunn. You know, Billy Gunn's name is famous, and he's, you know, I introduced him because he was one of the people that was always great to me, and I think a great athlete.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't know the name, because WWE never, you know, Nick Dinsmore's name never got publicized as much as Eugene. So
exactly.
I was real fortunate, you know, to keep Rob Conway, through the good and bad.
Yeah, listen, some of it was good. Okay. So what does it mean now at this stage of your career to represent the National Wrestling Alliance and to be the NWA World Champion?
Man, it has really meant a lot to me. The NWA as a whole, we've got 30 licensees throughout the country, and then in Australia and in England. It's meant, I had 8 trips to wrestle for New Japan Pro Wrestling in the last year. I defended the championship in front of 40,000 people at the Tokyo Dome at Wrestle Kingdom 7. It's meant a lot, you know, to me to kind of, because NWA is pro wrestling, you know what I mean? I say that because the WWE and TNA are more sports entertainment. You know, there's a lot of backstage segments and things like that. Whereas when you come to an NWA show, you're getting 2 hours of pretty much wrestling and maybe in-ring promo. But there's not, you know, nobody spilling coffee on somebody backstage and saying, hey, let's have a match. Or there's a camera hidden around the corner that just happened to catch something. So it's more old school. And if you know from OVW, that's what we were taught. We were taught to go out there and have a 30-minute wrestling match and try to entertain the people with a sport instead of doing sports entertainment. So that although the crowds aren't as big, and, you know, some of them are bigger than others, it's still kind of what I grew up watching. And so it's fun.
Well, it's the title.
NWA champion has been fun. It's been around for 66 years, you know.
Jeez. And you know, again, the NWA title was the one that I thought of as my champion when I was a kid. I lived in Florida, and so Ric Flair, or Harley Race before him, was my champion. And I always thought that, you know, listen, and the organization of the NWA has had its ups and downs. But it seems like, you know, they've got kind of some things at least figured out as far as the world champion is concerned. When you had Adam Pearce as a world champion, and you now have Rob Conway as a world champion. I can't think of two better guys that are ambassadors that carry themselves as professionals and that really live up to the expectations of what should be with being a world champion professional wrestler. I think both you guys were both perfect, and I think you carrying the gold now is absolutely the right call.
No, I appreciate it. When I go into, you know, each organization, as I, like you said, it's not my first go around. You know, we've known each other. I've been in the business for 17 years now. To be that guy who, when the newer guys see me, you know, I'm the first one to the building. Generally, I go around and shake everybody's hand. I don't sit in the corner and wait for them to come shake my hand. I put them at ease, and I'm a nice guy, and I put my pants on the same way they do. And that, you know, no matter where you are, we're both in that same locker room now. And that no matter how you are, when the lights come on, that there's no reason not to be humble and to, you know, and to be respectful and to treat people the way you want to be treated. And, you know, I think as a younger wrestler, everybody goes through their phases of maybe arrogance or maybe thinking they're more important than what they are. But for the most part, you know, I try to let them know that, you know, you can be successful outside of, you know, WWE, because a lot of people think that's the pinnacle, and it is a great organization. They were good to me, but you can make a living and you can have a good time and you can do pro wrestling outside of that organization.
Yeah, you can do your own thing if you set yourself up for success the way that you did. And certainly there are young guys out there today that are carving their own path and that don't need to have, you know, the big organization in Stanford be the catalyst for them. They're finding their own way. Rob, so the next time you'll be defending that the 10 pounds of gold, August 29th, correct?
Yes, in Knoxville, Tennessee, for NWA Next Level Wrestling. Actually, it's going to have some great talent on it. Jax Dane, who's my former partner, Lance Hoyt, will be on it, as well as the NWA Junior Heavyweight Champion Chase Owens, and Matt Riviera, another top guy from the Arkansas area. So NWA is going to be alive and well in Knoxville, Tennessee on August the 29th.
Well, that's great. And Knoxville, of course, a great wrestling town, has been for years and years and years. And Rob, I was so glad that you were a guest on the show. Because I got a chance to say after all this time, I'm really proud of you. I'm proud of who you became in this in the business that we both work in, and I'm glad that I was able to work with you when you were just getting started. And I'm glad that I was able to be at least a little bit of help. Certainly, you were the one that was carrying the water. You've had a great career and continued success for whatever it is you want to do for as long as you want to do this.
I appreciate it, man. You were there when I was probably a handful to deal with, a young guy that, you know, everybody maybe thinks you're better than what you are, but I sure appreciate all the advice that you gave me over the years. And like I said, that everything that you taught us, you know, 10, 12, 15 years ago all holds true now. And I just, like I said, knowing that you saying that you're proud of some of the things that I've accomplished, and it really means a lot.
Yeah, no BS, man. Absolutely. Hey, fans, go check out... is there a website that we can send them to, Rob, if they want to? I'm sure there's matches. There's probably merchandise available. How can they keep up with the NWA World Champion online?
NWARingside.com. And then my Twitter is @RobConway. And then also on Facebook @RobConway2.
All right. Well, that's Rob Conway, everybody. He's the NWA World Heavyweight Champion. He's been our guest here on the Kevin Kelly Show. And Rob, thanks again for joining us, and we'll talk to you again soon. Well, that's our pal, Rob Conway. And boy, what a great guy. What a fantastic athlete. And he's had a great career. And like I said, I'm very proud of him. So it's it was good to have him on board. What did you think, JR, quickly?
Loved it.
Happy?
Yeah, I was always a Conway fan, La Rez days. And I was surprised that they haven't brought him back or didn't do more with him at the time. I know they tried to repackage him with the Con Man and the Look at Me song and all that. And the last thing I remember him doing was getting beat up by all the legends at the Homecoming Raw. But a guy I always thought would find his way back, and he still may at some point. I'm glad he's doing well in the indies and that he saved his money. And a real pro. It was a great interview. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, that's that was Rob Conway. So we had two interviews here in this episode, and we'll set up a couple of other interviews going forward. Maybe just one. I don't know. But we're always going to have a Ring of Honor guy on.
Yeah.
And we'll always find you know, topical folks to have on board.
Still working on Dennis Stamp. We'll get there.
Dennis Stamp is definitely got to be on, and I'm putting a request in for Jamie Dundee.
Okay, right. And we're working. I want to dig up Todd Pettengill too. That's one we're going to work on.
Well, you know, I saw the tweet that you sent to Sean Mooney.
Yes, I want Mooney on. Mooney's the man.
I would love to talk to Sean Mooney. That would be great. Pettengill would be fun as well.
Yeah.
All right. So we have some. This is fun. This is frivolity. This is the thing that you've waited for, I think, the most. It's a very special time right now here on the Kevin Kelly Show.
Time to play the game.
That's right, folks. It's time to play the game. Thank you, Scott Griscola, for your musical interlude there. All right, JR, what is the game this week? What are we playing? Come on, tell us.
This or that, Kevin Kelly. I'm going to give you two things, and you pick what you'd prefer. Easy peasy.
Who's the black sheep? Come on now. Yeah, that's awesome. That's great.
I loved when we had this that commercial that was on like every week, every day, every hour with the mice driving the cars, and they had the song. Remember that? That was like big for like a year. I miss that. Because I miss hearing this song just randomly on TV.
Right. Engine, number 9.
All right.
All right. So this or that is the game this week here on the Kevin Kelly Show.
Okay. First, Kevin Kelly, would you rather have this, college football Saturdays, or that, NFL Sundays?
Oh.
That's a tough one,
choose.
Huh?
It is. It really, it hurts. Gosh. I'm going to go NFL Sundays, and I'll tell you why. Because if Florida State plays on a Saturday, I'm tuned in for the whole day. But if Florida State is on a bye week, then I generally can walk away from it.
Okay, so you're not a huge,
with the NFL.
You're
with
not
the NFL,
a huge just college football fan. You're a Florida State guy.
I am a huge college football fan,
okay.
But I feel like it's destination watching on a Sunday. So I'm a Giants fan first, and a Ravens fan second. Those are generally the teams that I get here kind of in my local area. Pittsburgh Steelers as well. But anyway.
Arrogance and thugs.
Yeah. So I've got... so if say, there's no Giants and there's no Ravens, I'm still going to watch at 1 o'clock on Sunday because I've got Sunday ticket. I've got the Red Zone. I'm going to watch that. And my team doesn't even have to play, and I'm going to wind up spending the whole day through. Plus, I love Sunday Night Football.
Right. Well, you wait all day for it.
I know, but you whet your appetite with the ones and fours, or 4:15 now. But so I've got to go with NFL Sundays, but it's close.
You know, we always make fun of Mike Francesa and talk about him on here. Have you ever heard his whole rant about how that song is stupid, that we waited all night for Sunday Night song? No one waits all night, day for Sunday night. Because of the whole thing about the ripping that, what was that, Carrie Underwood, whoever does that song.
Of course he did. Mike Francesa.
He's supposed to be doing the Ice Bucket Challenge. I don't know if it's today or tomorrow he's doing it, but it's sure it'll be fun.
I think he's going to do it worse than Chris Carter did, who completely whiffed and threw it all over Chris Berman.
That's fine. Anytime Chris Berman gets dumped with shit, I'm fine with it. All right. Would you rather have this, CM Punk, this or Roman Reigns, or that, Daniel Bryan, to end Brock Lesnar's reign?
I guess I'm going to go Daniel Bryan. Because I think he can do it. I just, there's something very sports entertaining about Roman Reigns. I like it. He's a, you know, but again, I think.
Not ready. He's just not ready.
He's not ready. And I think Daniel Bryan is wrestler enough to find a way to make the size difference work in a big fight feel.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't go very long. I think he's got a move. He's got a fight different than we've ever seen in a different pro wrestling match. But I think Punk could do it too. Don't get me wrong. But I think that Daniel Bryan is the perfect opponent out of those three. So I go with Daniel Bryan.
Okay. You are Steve Ballmer. Both teams are up for sale. Would you rather have this, the Clippers, or that, the Lakers?
Well, if I am Steve Ballmer, I am out of here. Let me tell you this.
You wouldn't still do this show?
I would still do it out of love. I really do.
You would just hire me on permanently. We just record them right in your house.
That'd be it. We could just, forget it. We'd be awesome. Rock stars. I would have to go. All right, so wait a minute. Now I have the choice.
You have the choice. They're both for sale. You got your $2 billion. You could purchase the Clippers or the Lakers as is. Players, status.
It's a no-brainer. I get the Lakers. Because first of all, you get the team, you get the history, you get the franchise, you get the name, you get the cachet. You get the right people in place. You pay whatever money it takes to get the right people in place. And whoever those right people are, I'm not sure. But you can also make money too, and you're the lead dog, and you're the big talk, and you're everything that you want to be. Now, if it comes with a downside, because again, you've still got Kobe Bryant to deal with, who I can't stand, and he can't go away sooner. Who would you? You know, you probably like both guys, but I don't know who I dislike more anymore, and it's Kobe Bryant or Tiger Woods. Like, I used to like Tiger Woods, and now I can't stand him. And I used to kind of like Kobe Bryant, and now I can't stand him either.
I don't know if I ever cared enough about golf to really have a strong opinion on Tiger Woods, honestly. And Kobe's Kobe. I mean, annoying, but still great.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a great player, there's no doubt about it, and Tiger's great.
I think he's one of those guys that if he's on your team, you're going to love him no matter what, because he's so awesome to watch. And if he's not on your team, then you just hate him, because he just is a killer, but... I think he's rehabbed his image a little bit over the last few years. I do. I think he's changed. I know he still runs his mouth kind of behind the scenes and stuff, but as far as being more of a team guy and staying out of the spotlight for the wrong reasons and being on the court. I mean, the guy fights through all these crazy injuries. Remember, he tear his Achilles and he was walking around? I mean, it's just,
right.
You know, unhuman half the time. And you think of all the miles of wear and tear on his body and the fact that he still does what he does and has the heart after winning all those rings. He's a millionaire. Like, what really drives him? If I just wanted to be great. So I think there is something to respect in that.
I have a lot of respect for him, no doubt about it. But I, you know, again, I don't know. Anyway, we're playing a game called This or That, and it's the first time we're doing it here. I really like it. So let's continue.
All right, we got three more.
Okay.
You can have, you're going on a flight, you can pick one match to bring with you. Is it Vince McMahon versus Shane McMahon at WrestleMania 17, or that? Vince McMahon versus Hulk Hogan from WrestleMania 19.
Oh, it's Vince versus Shane. WrestleMania 17. I was hoping you were going to say Vince versus Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Okay, throw that out there too then, those three.
Oh, well, from the St. Valentine's Day Massacre in 99, that was awesome. I love that match. I did love, you know, Shane going coast to coast with the Shane Terminator or whatever they called it. Neat. And just the silly ending, you know, with Linda coming out of her, you know, she was playing possum. She wasn't really in her drug-induced coma anymore. And Vince got his.
And massive again, pop when she stood up.
Yeah, it was great. And again, great atmosphere at the Astrodome. Neat. I was there, saw it, you know, watched it kind of live in the crowd behind the
that Hogan,
you know, to the
match.
Side.
Though I just watched that. That's really good too. I mean, those guys go balls out for their age and status, and you get the great visual when Vince peeks over the apron with the bloody face. You get Piper's big return to a big pop, and he decks Hogan, and then you get the Vince's laid out does the double bird with the bloody face from the apron.
Yeah,
I kind of forgotten. I think in the Vince canon.
It was great. I didn't like all the blood in that one, and I'm big.
You're such a pussy.
You know. Oh, I am bad. But yeah. So for me, the Shane match kind of stands out. But both were great, no doubt about it. Both were big moments, big match feel. Vince always delivered. The clumsiest human being ever, I think, who somehow found a way to pull off great professional wrestling matches.
He did.
Go figure.
All right, we got two more.
Yes.
You are building your franchise up. Would you rather have the current Cubs minor league system or the current NXT roster at your disposal?
I would not want to have the Cubs ground crew.
Okay.
As they are pitiful.
They're not part of the deal. So it's their minor league system. You're building a team. You get their entire minor league system, all their studs that are ready to come up soon. Or you get the NXT system. That's suddenly gotten quite reloaded again. Got Kenta,
yeah.
Prince Devitt, Steen.
Prince Devitt, Kevin Steen, Sami Zayn. You still got Sami Callihan. I can't remember his name now. You still got him lurking. Mm-hmm. He's good.
Adrian Neville, champion.
Yep. And there's a cat that I met through. He's a Monster Factory guy. When we had Danny Cage on a couple weeks ago, he talked to us about him.
Mm-hmm.
He's there. He's going to be very good. Cubs are loaded. They've got a ton of bats, and they're going to be mashers. They don't have a lot of pitching, though. And, you know, some of the talk is, boy, the Mets have all this pitching, and the Cubs have all this hitting. Why don't they get together and swap out and help each other out? Chicks dig the long ball in baseball. There's no doubt about it. And a team full of bashers can put butts in the seats. But if I'm a pro wrestling guy, I kind of would want to take my chances with the NXT roster right now. Because, again, there is some just transformational stars on that roster. You have the ability to be very, very good for a long time
mm-hmm.
with some guys. So with Devitt, with Kenta, with Steen, with Generico, with Pac, you've got a lot of talent and ability there. And there's other folks that we haven't even seen yet. So, yeah, that's good.
I think the Cubs end up with Cole Hamels. They claimed him. Phillies pulled him back. But I think they have enough young pieces. Phillies got to rebuild at some point. And he could be the ace that they need for the next few years.
It's... Yeah, I see it. So they have 10 days now to work out a trade?
No, I think that's done already. I think it's done. Yeah, so I'm saying in the offseason.
Okay.
I think the groundwork is kind of there, though. So,
I think so. What about Lester?
Well, the Cubs and the A's have been in a little bit of a free fall, right? I've kind of checked out a little bit on baseball because the Yankees cannot get out of their own effing way, and they're about to shit the bed on this playoff race.
Well, I mean, gosh, they've had so many injuries this year. And...
Yeah, but this was a big week because they had six straight home games, three with Houston and three with Chicago, the White Sox. Yeah, I wanted like 5 of 6, and they already lost last night, and they're about to lose again tonight. So, not a good start. I feel like this is the week if they were going to get back in it, it would have had to be now.
It does get tough once you get into the September month. It does.
The good thing is Pineda's looks good.
Yeah, that's true. Listen, Tanaka went down. That was it. Masa, my hero. That you coined the phrase.
Right. He did go down well. It sounds like they're going to have him pitch regardless now, just to see if he's going to make it, or they don't want him basically to sit now and then show up at spring training and blow his elbow out and need Tommy John. Like, they'd rather do it now, get out of the way. So I think even if they're out of the race, it sounds like they're going to have him pitch in September if he can, just to see if he's going to hold up.
Right. And over under, does he wind up having Tommy John or not?
Eventually. I'm hoping it's like 5 years from now and not soon.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's responding okay. I mean, there is precedence too of guys with that injury that have done this treatment and not needed it for a while. So, all right, we got one more. You ready?
Okay, I love it.
You need one manager, Kevin, as you start your wrestling career.
Yes.
Bobby Heenan or Paul Heyman?
Wow. I'm going to go with Heenan. And I'll tell you why, because he could work. Because he'd get out there and he could take the bumps. Paul could too, but both are great. Both are incredible. Both could put butts in seats. There's no doubt about it.
Heyman's been so good.
Oh, he has been. You know, Heyman good. Heyman now versus Heenan in his prime. I don't know. I think both are great. You can't go wrong either way. Put it that way.
That's a real toss up.
Me personally, if I had one man. If I had one guy to manage, it would be Gary Hart.
Really?
I was a big Gary Hart fan, and I've gotten to be even a bigger Gary Hart fan.
Interesting.
I loved him. I just thought the way he said things and style, the people he presented, always loved it. Heenan, by a whisker, only because he could don the tights and be my partner and take the bumps and get beat up and leave me strong. But Paul Heyman, come on. He's awesome.
He is.
I love that picture that's been on the front page of the WrestlingObserver.com with Lesnar with the belt. He's kind of looking off to the side, and Heenan sort of looking like real sneaky, or Heyman looking real sneaky.
Yep.
I think that they're just a great pairing. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. That's this or that.
That's that or this. Take us home, Kev.
I'm a big fan of this or that. I've been a big fan of the show. Man, we've done a lot. Holy crap. First, we want to thank our special guests, Raymond Rowe and Rob Conway. Both guys are just, I think there's a lot of similarities between the two because they were brought up the right way in wrestling. And I think that what the challenge that Ray Rowe is facing right now is a monumental one, but it's one that he can overcome and he can get through it because he has the right character makeup. Character counts for a lot of different things, and character is what gets you through. Character is the reason why Johnny Manziel isn't the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns right now. And I think character is the reason why people become successful in whatever walk of life that they choose. The decisions that you make early on in your life they set a precedent. They set a pattern. And if you start making the right decisions right away, all of a sudden now it becomes habit. And you know what? You're always going to think, I need to do the right thing as opposed to the easiest thing, the quickest thing, or the most fun thing. J.J. Watt said something very interesting recently when he talked about putting off having fun and not going out and partying until his football career was over, because he knows he only has so much time. He's got all the rest of his life to do all those other things. So forgive me, my friends, for not wanting to go out, but I'm going to be home studying film. And I think Manziel needs to do some of that. That's the kind of guy that that Ray Rowe is, and I think that's one of the reasons why he's going to come back stronger than ever. We also, we want to thank our sponsors. We want to thank all of you for listening. We want to thank Dan McGinn for helping produce a lot of the stuff on the fly, and for JR for being really good with all the changes as well. We want to thank ROHWrestling.com for the sponsorship of the Ring of Honor segment, and I want to thank all of you for listening. Check out the announcement coming up shortly about who will be our guest on the next episode of Kevin Kelly. But for now, we bid you adieu. And I hope everybody has a great weekend, everybody. This is the Kevin Kelly Show here on the Place to Be Nation.
Basically, because she had Tommy John and had the strong arm, she gave these awesome hand jobs that he was like obsessed with. Will you do my wife and I the honor of purchasing you?
Oh, wait a minute.
I don't get butt hurt.
Bye.